Now, the reason I was asking you to stay put for just a second was, in fact, something you attended yourself earlier on, Bobby. Very special day in Inchicore in Dublin's Southside. Renowned painter and sculptor Sean Scully, honoured in with the placing of a plaque on his childhood home in Tramway Terrace, a place he was placed there by the Cola Foundation with the painter Scully, his wife Lillian, and son Oisin, all present. Kay Sheehy, who came in during while we were speaking to you there, was there as you were yourself, Bobby. I suppose these things, there's a great, I presume there was an emotional content.
I think he was quite emotional.
Yeah.
I was there because the Cola Foundation, which organised all of this, has been working with young people in the area, and I'm on the board of Cola Foundation, and it was in that capacity that I was there. But I was delighted to have a few seconds with Sean and to welcome him home. And he was quite, I thought he was quite emotional about the whole thing. And he gave a lovely speech about his life. And to say that he spent his childhood there is not quite correct. He was born there. Yeah. But, I mean, his descriptions of his early years in Inchicore were pretty brutal and pretty grim.
Yeah.
In fact, his childhood was in London when his parents emigrated to London.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what Kay will be touching on us, but glad to have you give us a little lead into that as well. So, Kay, you were...
Yeah, I mean, what Bobby says is it was such a special day. Mm. First of all, I just went up to Inchicore and kind of found my way to a little terrace of cottages, Tramway Terrace, and they're opposite where the Davis flats are. And Carlos and Evine Garcia invited us into the house. Well, invited Sean and the family in. So we went along with them, and he was... I think he had been at the house maybe once or twice before, and he knew the neighbours at either side. Mm. But as Bobby said, like, it was maybe the first 4 years of his life. And it's just... it's also near the green, which just separates the cottages from Richmond Barracks. And that green has some significance that we talked about later with Sean. But first of all, I had a chance to talk to him in Richmond Barracks after he talked to the young people, and he described how important the day was and his connection with the Tramway Terrace.
Well, it's an extraordinary coming together of past, present, and hopefully the possibility of Inchicore becoming really a great place. And I meant that it can become an extraordinary environment, this. You know, learning, doing something in the world has got absolutely nothing to do with money. It's like learning a foreign language. You know, it's got nothing to do with money. You just have to smash the information into your head. And you can be a prince or a pauper, it won't make the slightest bit of difference.
Can I bring you back to you as a baby, or even before you were born? You talked about your parents and how they met.
Yeah, well, they met in England during the war in Sheerness, a place that's always very fondly remembered for me, because I also went once for a walk out into the sea with my dad. And it's that memory that, in fact, has influenced my choice of Morning Star, a painting by Turner, that is now at the National Gallery in London. So I'm always trying to kind of close circles. I'm very obsessed with this, the reparation of the past. Of course I would be, when one thinks of the past I've had. So they came to Dublin, they left the war, they were deserters on the run.
He had been a fighter pilot, you
said. Yeah, and she had been an ambulance driver during the Blitz, you know, which was an extremely dangerous job. So they came back to Dublin, where my father was born in Ireland, born in Tipperary, so we didn't have a big relationship with Dublin, but we did have a big relationship with Clonmel, of course, because that's a seat of power for the Scully clan. We fared rather poorly, of course, and we depended on the kindness of people. My father, I remember, was on the streets of Clonmel running some kind of a roulette wheel in the streets, you know, carrying a knife. So life was dangerous then. There wasn't much possibility for anything. He was a barber. He had some possibility to earn a penny here and there, you know. But we had no roof over our head. And then, of course, the Dillons allowed us to stay in Tramway Terrace, number 7.
You were in Tramway Terrace earlier. One of the stories is at street level, and then you go downstairs to the basement.
That's
and
it.
That's where the family slept, I guess.
Yeah, we had a tiny room. You know, even the master bedroom there is tiny. But we had the tiniest of tiny rooms. It was more or less a box room that we had, the one that the family could afford to give us for a prolonged period of time. I mean, it's very kind to take someone in for 6 months, a starving family that are just about to give birth. My mother used to walk over to the convent, by the way, and the nuns fed her. My mother was a great deal maker. And then, of course, on a full belly, she converted to Catholicism. Well, who wouldn't?
Sean Scully there, touching on some of the things you said there, Bobby. Certainly not running away from that difficult past.
Oh, no, not at all. And in a way, quite proud of the experiences. He also spoke about how the family that took them in, after 6 months, they kind of put them out.
You were talking about the field, Kay,
that the field is very important. That again ties in with what Bobby says. Like, because as you see, they were just taken in by the Dillon family so that he could really get a passport. But most of the time, they lived in the field with travellers.
And then this is what he's going to tell us about.
And he explains it here.
We actually started out on that plot with the travellers. And then our relations took us in, which allowed me, of course, to get a birth certificate. And in fact, on my birth certificate, it lists my father's occupation as traveller. So, in fact, we were gypsies. And I still behave like one. It's influenced me to this day, you know? And these things are so powerful, and it's part of a quality that I have. I can leave things. I have a very weak relationship with place because of that, because of the life that I've led. And what I like to say is, you know, I tap my little donkey and, you know, I toddle off with my caravan to another field, and my little caravan has no rear view mirror.
The emotion is there even when he's describing that, Kay. You talked about that emotion.
And the event in when he went to the barracks and started talking to the young people and trying to just instill in them. Because when they went to England, things got worse. Because the father was arrested for deserting the army. Then he was living with his mother and his mother again. They used to live on fried bread. Bread and lard were the only things in the house. So he learned to be an artist by going to, well, he first got apprentice at a printmaker's. Then later he used to go to the Central School of Art at night while he worked by day. He was rejected by loads of art colleges. So that determination, he's saying to the young people in Inchicore, is something that he had to find within himself.
And you moved on then to speak to him a little bit more about the nature of his painting, and obviously you got into the whole area of the abstraction that he's so famous for, and the geometric quality of
that abstraction.
That's right.
Famously, in the 1980s, he moved from minimalism to abstraction, and here he describes what he feels he does in his work.
Well, basically, what I do is something very simple. I take what is common vernacular, and I humanize it. And most other artists who are geometric have taken what you might call geometric, hard-edge, common vernacular and kept it geometric and hard-edge. And what I've done is transformed it by bringing it into the history of intimate painting or emotional painting without resorting to expressionism. So in a sense, my work is a kind of bridge between emotionality and classicism. So the other artists who wanted to do that, of course, in the Renaissance was Raphael, who was seen as a bridge between the extreme intellectualism of Leonardo and the extreme passionate physicality of Michelangelo. So Raphael was that bridge then, and I've tried to do something rather similar.
And you also spoke to him, I think. You had been, he exhibited at the recent Venice Biennale. You attended there.
Yes, the exhibition was called Human. It was in San Giorgio's church. It was the usual monumental, huge scale paintings, abstract, also sculpture. But there was a number of paintings of mother and child paintings, depicting really Lillian, his wife, and his young son, Oisin. So I asked him, like, what was this move in figurative?
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, to a nice lady who I met today at the Hibernian, I had a son and I lost my mind. Love conquers all. It conquers all your conceits and all your structures and all your self-importance and your intellectual strategies. When you have to go downstairs with a small child at 3 a.m. and, you know, wipe his bum and get him something to drink. It puts things into perspective.
So he dragged you away from abstraction for a while?
Well, I wanted to make pictures of him, and I couldn't do it abstractly because what I wanted to do was a very specific thing. And this really is a sidebar. It doesn't stop me from making my abstract paintings, which I love to make and which I truly do believe in, and I do believe that abstract art can speak to everybody in the world. And my work is utterly implicated with the idea of binding the world together and getting rid of country, getting rid of race. I would love to live in a world that was post-race.
There we go. Sean Scully speaking to Keshi earlier on today. I suppose it's great that we do get to celebrate an artist that has had Sean Scully success in their lifetime, Bobby Ballard.
Absolutely, yes. I do get a bit exhausted with our politicians busily quoting long-dead artists who often had to flee the country. At last, we're honouring an artist who's alive, successful, and is proud to come from Ireland.
Yeah, well, so say all of us. So that's Bobby Ballard there talking to us about Sean Scully. And earlier he was talking to us about the Liffey Swim and the medals that he has designed for the winners of that swim taking place this coming Saturday. Bobby will not be wearing his swimming trunks anywhere near any of the bridges along the Liffey on the day.